I'm JP Tuesday.
And I'm Kiki Cannon. As lifelong Disney fans, the work of countless talented Disney creatives have shaped our lives.
Now, as the Disney catalog expands, we're taking a journey through film and television to discover if that spark that shaped us as children lives on in adulthood.
Does your favorite Disney media still cast that same spell? Join us as we find out. We are
Rewatching the Magic. Hi, Kiki.
Hi, Tuesday.
Hopefully you and everyone listening had a safe and distant Thanksgiving for the American listeners we have. For the rest of you,
safe and homebound.
Yeah, for the rest of you, I hope you had a good week. And as we pass through the Thanksgiving holiday, that usually means it's some sort of anniversary for some sort of Disney movie, because Disney likes to release their movies around Thanksgiving.
Gotta get that holiday boost.
Yeah, not doing it this year, obviously. But the movie we're talking about this week is one of those movies, and that would be Tangled. This year is the 10th anniversary of Tangled, and it's amazing that this movie was that long ago.
Yeah, this is also a big milestone for the Disney company.
Yeah, and I forgot about this till I watched it. This is listed as the 50th Disney animated movie.
Yeah.
That was a big deal back then. Notice that we are not counting Pixar movies, and we are not counting any of the direct-to-video movies. Simply the movies made by the Walt Disney Animation Studio.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal of it being the 50th movie, and it being a princess movie, which Disney was kind of known for. The Disney princess brand. The fairy tale movie. That's their bread and butter, really.
Yeah, and we were, there's a little bit of controversy about this movie because this was coming off of Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
Which, despite being a good movie, as we have talked about, was not the box office smash that Disney wanted and had come to expect.
Yeah, and it kind of turned Disney's direction around, kind of going away from the princess movies, feeling that princess movies wasn't the moneymaker that it used to be. Even going as far as to completely stop 2D animation because, well, 2D animation was not as popular anymore. Because you had Pixar, you had DreamWorks, and the up-and-coming Blue Sky Studios from Fox making these CG movies that was making the blockbuster money, getting those awards that Disney used to get. So they, Eisner, in one of his final acts as CEO before Iger took over, was making the mandate that all movies from that point on, all the animated movies, would be CGI, much to a lot of the animators' chagrin, because they were that classically trained animators, pen and paper, you know? CG was not, at least to them, as fluid as pen to paper animation.
Yeah, I always find that Disney seems to, well, a lot of studios, but Disney is a pretty good example of it. I always find that studios tend to take the wrong lesson from things.
Hollywood in general, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, a bad superhero movie comes out, and they go, well, people just superhero movies anymore, instead of going, like, what in the script made this a bad superhero movie?
Yeah.
And we talked about this before with, like, Pirates. That we talked about that the idea was that pirate movies are dead, they are never coming back. And then it was like, no, nobody had just written a good pirate movie in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Movies that had come out in the recent years had been bad. And they had been bad movies, not necessarily, you know, whatever. So it's not always that a movie does poorly because of its genre or whatever. Sometimes there is another thing there. For a lot of movies, it's just that it's bad. I honestly think competition. The thing is that Princess and the Frog was up against some other stuff that, you know, there was, we talked about various reasons why it might not have succeeded as well as expected. But instead, Disney took the idea like, oh, princess movies are just done. And we need to broaden our audience from just little girls. But I think if, you know, shows like ours kind of show anything, is that genders across the spectrum seem kind of equally into Disney.
Yeah.
I know exactly as many men who are super into Disney as I know women.
Mm-hmm.
I know just as many guys who can sing all the words to the Little Mermaid soundtrack as I do women. I mean, if you don't make fun of a boy for liking things, he's going to like what he likes. And same thing for girls.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that's going to be, you know, liking swashbuckling stories. And for some people, it's going to be liking romances. And I don't think that that's necessarily a gender thing until we make it. So, yeah. So Disney got the idea that it's a gender thing and we need to make it less of a girly film. So let's change the name from Rapunzel, which was the original name, to Tangled, so that people don't know it's a princess movie. And also, we've got to have a strong male, let's make it more his story, which is why they changed, like, they had a whole narration. I don't even know if you know this. Did you know they had a whole narration that was done by the queen, Rapunzel's mother?
Which is really funny because she never gets any other lines in this movie.
Neither the king or queen speak in this movie in the final version, but in the original version, they had recorded a voice actress doing an entire narration that they then later changed to Flynn / Eugene's narration to make him more the kind of star of the film or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in a desperate bid to make this movie a thing that we have already noted they would have done anyway.
Yeah. And this movie itself has gone through a lot of changes, as most Disney movies do, but the story between this one is really interesting because this has been one of those movies that's been kind of punched around the Disney offices for a while. I found some stuff dating back to 96 about trying to get this movie made, but we go back here. 2001 is when this project was formally brought up to then CEO Michael Eisner, who decided, again, he was the one that put the idea of this being a CG film. But he also wanted this movie to take place in the modern day. San Francisco, to be exact, in that Rapunzel would be a girl from modern day San Francisco that would get transported into the fairy tale world. I'm so glad Eisner left and they dropped that story completely.
Yeah, that does not sound like it would have ended up as good.
And the idea was that it was going to be Disney trying to do their version of Shrek.
Yeah, can we not? We've talked about that before, about how studios trying to do their version of somebody else's property not to be the greatest of ideas.
And that idea did eventually sort of come to a reality with Enchanted. So somebody got their way with that.
But, you know, Enchanted, the reason Enchanted works is because it kind of makes fun of all people like Eisner were doing for so many years.
Yeah.
You know, it's a self-referential, it's Disney finally gets hair down. Ha ha ha, Rapunzel joke.
Yeah. So yeah, and then they change it about a bunch of time, and finally with Iger coming in, they just decided, this really does feel like a Disney Renaissance movie. Yes, there's a little bit more comedy involved with it, but it does feel like this belongs with, you know, Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, at least to me.
Yeah, and a lot more than Princess and the Frog did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie, but it doesn't have the exact same feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't entirely feel Disney at points. Mm-hmm. This one feels Disney top to bottom to me. Tangled does.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's kind of get into this movie properly. Let's get into who's in this movie. Let's start with the star of Rapunzel herself, Mandy Moore.
Yeah, Mandy Moore, the pop star and all.
Not her first rodeo with Disney, as she did voices for the first Kingdom Hearts video game. And I think some of the TV shows she probably starred in another Disney movie prior to this. So she had the credentials already.
Yeah, I mean, she was in Princess Diaries before this. It's once again stunt casting. It works. I'm going to say this one works in an odd way. You didn't expect it, which is she was a really good voice actor for the spoken bits. I didn't like her singing as much. Just for where I feel it doesn't entirely work.
She doesn't have that Broadway voice you associate with a Disney princess.
Yeah, she doesn't have the Disney princess voice. And the thing is that they kept putting in, I noticed during the rewatch in some of the songs, especially during her kind of opening I Want song for When Will My Life Begin, they keep putting odd vocal jumps where she'll be singing at kind of her natural register, and then she'll jump into a higher voice for no real reason, and then later she'll jump back down to her comfortable register. And I think that it was trying to be like, because the Mandy Moore was kind of at the tail end of that Christina Aguilera kind of idea in pop music of like, oh, you have to constantly do these really high runs and everything. And I think they were trying to play off of that. Like, hey, this more song, but it doesn't really work for a Disney princess song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to do that really high voice thing, it has to be like end of the song or whatever, you know, it has to be a key change or something, it just not in the middle of the song. And so I think she's a very good voice actress speaking parts. I was very surprised when I saw this because I did not expect to like her performance when I first saw this in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she was really good as a spoken Disney princess. Sadly falls apart in the area you would expect her to excel in.
Yeah, and Mandy Moore actually still voices Rapunzel in the Rapunzel animated series. It says there's a lot. They would have been get Mandy Moore to do a TV series.
Yeah, go them.
Yeah.
Hopefully they paid her well.
Yeah. Let's talk about her co-star, Zachary Levi, Captain Sparkle Fingers himself.
Of course, came to first kind of prominence for most people in the TV show Chuck. Later, this was doing Tangled. He would go on to do Shazam for the DC Extended Universe. This was kind of a big get for them. And once again, a bit of stunt casting that also worked well. And also, I didn't know until this point that he could sing, and he doesn't sing a lot.
I think only two songs, and they're not even full songs.
Yeah, but the parts he's used to really good effect.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel strained. Like, it feels like he should be singing more, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they decided that his voice wasn't good enough to carry an entire song by himself, or maybe it was just the plot didn't call for it. But either way, what he does very well. He's just the right amount of lovable. But smarmy. I tried to say lovey but smarmable.
Lovey but smarmable. The lovable bad boy, really. He's the bad boy that really does have that heart of gold that everyone always says they want. talk about Flynn Rider here. And of course, Levi himself also returned to voice the character in the Tangled TV show. Again, they paid him well for that, hopefully.
Yeah, because I didn't kind of want to say anything bad about Mandy Moore, but her career kind of took a little bit of a dip after this movie, and Zachary Levi's just kept going up and up. I mean, he did, you know, some stuff in the Marvel Universe, then he went over to the DC Universe. He's had a good run.
He had a good run, yeah. So, and I guess we can wrap this up with our villain, Donna Murphy as Mother Gothel.
That set my dog off. Mother Gothel, one of the most despicable Disney villains, in my opinion. But, she is played, by Donna Murphy, who is, you know, Tony Broadway royalty. She's known to Star Trek fans for playing Picard's love interest in Star Trek Insurrection. She's Dr. Octopus's Doc Ock's wife in Spider-Man 2 in the Raimi series of films. But yeah, she's brilliant. She has that Broadway background that Mandy Moore lacks, and it is fully used to wonderful effect in this film.
Mother Knows Best is probably one of the best villain songs, and has a lot to do with the way Donna Murphy sings it.
I think it is the most. It's just kind of difficult for me because Disney villain songs are just so wonderful, but it is definitely the most
realistic song. Yeah.
Realistic. Yes. Absolutely the most realistic Disney villain song. I have heard people say almost every line in that song in real life.
Yeah, and there's a lot of changes, and Disney does do this with a lot of their fairy tales, all of their fairy tales, that they take the original fairy tale, break it down to its base components, and then build their own version of it. And there is a lot of the original tale in here, the major change being that there's no prince, and we replaced the prince with Flynn Rider the Thief. But even the ending with the tears, the reason why, the mother being sick and needing a special herb to heal her, and Gothel taking the child as payment is sort of in the story as well. But they decide to add the gimmick of having Rapunzel have superpowers.
Yeah, I think that it's a it, interesting twist, because the idea that, I don't know, there has been a change, I guess, in our society, that the idea that is someone asking for a child in payment for something is kind of no longer seen as a thing you would ever give into. So they have to do the thing of the child being stolen without the parents knowing who took.
Yeah.
So that idea of why would you take the child in the first place? Well, because she has the one thing I want. You know, you took my flower. The flower is now, the magic is inside the child now, and that's why you need to steal the child.
Yeah.
Which is better than your mom ate some of my lettuce, so I kidnapped you.
Yeah. At least they kept that when they did Into the Woods.
I mean, that's still ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah, still ridiculous, but...
But, yeah, the idea of giving Rapunzel magic hair and almost prehensile hair. I mean, if this was an animated movie done at any other time, they probably would have given the hair its own personality.
It's not so much that the hair is prehensile so much as she's become really good with it like a whip.
Yeah.
If
she had that in a proper ponytail, she'd be Indiana Jones.
Yeah. I did just kind of want to name drop a couple of the other ones that we have in the background doing more or less cameo roles. Mm-hmm. We've got Brad Garrett, who we've talked about before, the great and wonderful Ron Perlman. Jeffrey Tambor is in there as one of the thugs. I believe this was Richard Kiel's last film performance.
Hmm.
He is best known for Jaws in the Bond movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe this final acting role. And then we've got Paul F. Tompkins as the little short little diaper wearing Cupid guy, the wonderful Paul F. Tompkins, who I absolutely adore. So yeah, nice little kind of mostly cameo cast, because three main characters, not a lot of people get a lot of dialogue in this film.
No, as we said, two of the main characters, that would be Rapunzel's pet iguana, Pascal, and the royal horse Maximus, no lines whatsoever, but are able to deliver a lot of emotion in their animation, more than you would think for a CG film.
Yeah. Good animal characters, and all without talking, so good for them.
Yeah. Sorry, Frank, we won't need you for this one. Though I would love to have Frank Welker try to do a gecko sound or something, you know?
Yeah, I want to. But you know he could do it. You know he would be totally unfazed by that.
Yeah. So let's kind of get into the main. We've kind of talked to the beginning of it. The queen is sick, and they find this magic flower that is grown from a drop of the sun, because fairy tale logic. And it heals her illness, and the power transfers to the baby. Gothel has been using this flower to keep herself young for, as the narration said, hundreds of years. So she might be even older than anyone else in this kingdom, several generations over. So she steals the baby and uses the magic hair to keep herself young. And there we are. That is the first 5 minutes of this movie. It's a lot to put into 5 minutes. They do it well enough that it gets you straight to where you need to be, which is what these kind of things should be. It's almost like this could have been a short in front of a different movie. And they could have just, but yeah, it does. It worked for me. I don't know what for you.
Yeah, I think it was a good way to open. You get Flynn kind of narrating
This is the day
what
that I died.
happened.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the
But
whole.
don't worry, it's a fun story. It's happy and great, but also I died.
It's not the first movie to open with that narration. This is the day I died. But it's the first time something like a kid's movie would have opened with something like that. Like you see that in like darker movies or movies where the character actually does die. But
Yeah, that's a film noir opening.
yeah.
The conceit of that there is only one flower.
Yes. Because
That's it. This.
there was only one drop of sun that came into the earth and that became the thing.
Can I just point out, though, that Mother Gothel has been keeping herself alive for hundreds of years. She may be older than the kingdom, not just people in the king, like the kingdom, but she knows the secret of the flower, which is that you sing this song and the flower heals you. If she had shared that song with the king and queen, like gone to the king and said, "I know where this is, it's a one use only deal. I will take your queen to somewhere secret. I will heal her and bring her back." Then she gets to keep the flower. That's it. If she'd have just been willing to share instead of trying to hide it, make a deal with the king that the flower is off limits, but I will save your wife.
But again, she's selfish. She wants the
Prevent
flower all
it.
to herself, you know. She even has this little basket that she puts over the flower to hide it, that in her own rush to escape, knocks over the basket and the flower is revealed.
Yeah. And the thing is that because they don't know how to properly use the flower, they rip it up and they make it into a tea, and that works, but it destroys the flower.
Yeah.
So if Mother Gothel had been slightly less selfish but slightly smarter, this whole thing would have been avoided.
Yeah, villain logic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so Rapunzel ends up staying for 18 years in a tower by herself. This is 2020. She's stuck in quarantine. It's never said in the movie, but the kingdom is called Corona.
Yeah. This movie actually has this year received kind of a big resurgence in viewership, with it becoming one of the more watched things on Disney Plus, especially at the beginning of the quarantine, because people were Googling Corona and finding this movie.
Yeah. And that became like a big meme. And it's like, oh, what's the like everyone's saying, oh, go to Google and search what's the name of the kingdom in Entangled. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's 2020.
You know what's This year has been so long. Did you even remember that we were doing that just a few months ago?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the song, Rapunzel's song, When Will My Life Begin? That. So many people have done videos of that song just of their quarantine life. And
Yeah, I mean, that was my life before the quarantine, so I feel you, girl.
mean, if you can grow your hair as long as Rapunzel's can, that'd be a different story.
I used to have very long hair.
I know. Then.
It's not that long anymore, but
Yeah, and the fact that she's. You gotta wonder how long it's gonna take to wash all of that hair. And I know that, I mean, in real life, there have been stories of the real life Rapunzel, Guinness World Record with hundreds of feet of hair that people have to, like, special follow them and kind of have to wash her hair in a special way. And as she's walking, she's dragging her hair through dirt until they have to, people specially there to kill the bugs that live in her hair. It's odd. But at least with Rapunzel, she's just in a tower. So she doesn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure Mother Gothel didn't teach her how to braid?
Yeah.
Because she seems really overwhelmed with the idea of braiding when she sees it for the first time.
I don't know. Also, we did skip over it, but Rapunzel's hair can never be cut. Because then the magic fades away. The hair turns brown, and it's no longer magic.
Yeah, because that was the first thing. You know, Mother Gothel didn't, despite her name, didn't seem to want a child. She just tried to take some of the hair to keep the magic, but of course that won't work, so you had to take the whole baby with it.
Yeah. And Rapunzel is very... She has a lot of hobbies. Again, there's not much you can do when you're stuck in this tower for your entire life. She bakes, she paints, she plays music, she reads books. By the time she gets up early, but you know, before halfway through the day, she's already done everything and she's bored. Again, that's quarantine life.
Yeah. The thing is I'm not sure after 18 years she would still be doing that, because, you know, we haven't even been 18 months into the quarantine and everybody is over the baking and reading books and cleaning the house. In real life, there is no way that this girl is not going to be the world's most depressed lump, but that wouldn't make a good Disney movie, so.
Or insane.
I mean, she does have a little bit of human contact.
Yeah, she has Gothel.
Mostly but... lives there.
And yeah, and but we get her dream, her I want is that she wants to see these lanterns that go up every time on her birthday. And she wants to know what they are. And what we know, as the narration says, that every year on the princess's birthday, the king and queen send up all of these lanterns into the sky in hopes that it'd be the beacon that would light the way home for the princess.
It seems like a ridiculous plan, but it does end up working by the end of the film in a roundabout way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it says a lot that Gothel actually keeps telling Rapunzel that it's actually her birthday that day. That Rapunzel knows when her birthday is. That Gothel didn't just make up a day that's her birthday.
Yeah, I always wondered about that, because... in the film, Rapunzel says, you know, tomorrow's my birthday, which means that Gothel forgets it's her birthday. Regularly enough that she's like, remember, tomorrow's my birthday. And also Gothel says, like, no, it's not your birthday. Your birthday was last year.
Well, for someone who's been alive for hundreds of years, birthdays no longer have meaning.
Also, this is Rapunzel's birthday.
Why would Gothel care about Rapunzel?
Mother figure. Why would she care about anybody who's not her?
Yeah, and Gothel does make that joke that, you know, oh, here's this beautiful young woman. Oh, Rapunzel, you're there too. Yeah, Gothel very selfish.
Yeah, and she kind of, you know, she does that, like, oh, I'm just joking thing. Mm-hmm.
Personal experience.
Can I just say this while we're on this? Because I need to make a little rant about Mother Gothel. All
right.
I said she's the most realistic, has the most realistic villain song. I think she's the most realistic villain in all of Disney history. Mm-hmm. Because I have known people like this. And I think it's important that we put portrayals of emotionally abusive adults in children's film, because I think it's important for children to know that abuse from an adult is not always a punch, you know?
Not always physical.
It's not always physical. that it's not necessarily like, you know, do the adults in your life take food away from you? Like, well, maybe not. You know, Rapunzel has lots of good food. She has a roof, she has clothing, she, you know, but she is an abused child. There's no way around that.
Gothel constantly shuts her down about anything that she would want to do, and like leaving the tower, that she's not as pretty as her mother, kind of forcing Rapunzel to be dependent on Gothel.
Yeah, it is a very dependent relate. She wants Rapunzel to be 100% dependent on her and terrified of the outside world in this movie's logic, so that her magic hair will never leave and so Gothel can stay young forever. But transposed into the real world, fortunate reason that some people have children. I want someone to be dependent on me forever. I want somebody to think of me as the center of their world or whatever.
I've known people like that as well. It's not, and in their minds, it's the right thing because that's what they want. That's their belief. And it's, yeah, you are hurting people by that. You might never physically hit them, but you're still abusing them.
Yeah, and I think that it's important that children get to see that evil comes in lots of different forms. You know, evil can be cunning, like Scar in The Lion King. You know, he's cunning and he wants power. It can be really interesting and fun and cool, like Dr. Facilier.
It could be
You
really
know, he's
attractive, like
a
Gaston.
It can be like the most handsome man in town, like Gaston, yeah. But you know, it can be selfish, it can be greedy, it can be angry. And I think that when you're using the idea of monsters and fairy tales to teach children what the world is, you have to show them the more subtle forms of danger as well. And that's why, that's to me, is the great thing about this movie. This is the triumph of this movie, is that it shows kids an evil that they very well might come across at some point in their life. A romantic partner, a friend, even, that form these kind of codependent relationships based on, you know, breaking down somebody else's ego and sense of self.
Yeah.
So I absolutely love the character of Mother Gothel in this because it is such a realistic portrayal of that type. So, you know, bravo to the writers for doing this. The guy who wrote this went on to write This Is Us, that TV show that's getting all the Emmys now. That, so I can see where he started.
Yeah.
Moving on with the plot, though. Sorry,
Yeah, it's
side
fine.
rant over, but this
Let's
is an important film to
yeah.
show kids, in my opinion.
We get the introduction of Flynn Rider. Him and his partners plan to steal the crown from the palace. The crown that is was supposed to be for the princess, but since the princess is gone, is now pretty much guarded 24/7. For they believe one day the princess will return and take what's rightfully hers. We get Flynn in a nice little Mission Impossible reference with the way Flynn enters the palace to grab the crown. And we get
Yeah,
everything
being lowered in on the rope.
everything we need to know about Flynn. He's kind of a smarmy, smart aleck, very confident. You know, I love this view, guys. I'm buying a castle.
Yeah, I want a castle.
Don't we all, Flynn? Don't we all? And of course, we have the running gag of the wanted poster is always drawn wrong.
Just his nose. The rest of it, perfect. The nose.
Yeah. I love later in the movie that the nose is drawn so ugly. It's like, that's just mean it there right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we get the
But we also get that Flynn is apparently not a good thief because one of the guards sneezes and he talks to him.
Yeah.
During the robbery that needs to be totally silent, he has to crack a joke.
It's we've all known people like that, that they just have to crack a joke in every situation. It's likely his coping mechanism, as we find out from his childhood later in the movie.
Yeah. That makes them realize far too soon that the crown is gone.
Yeah, if he had just kept his mouth shut, no one would have figured it out. But, you know, we need to get Flynn into Rapunzel's tower. So we need to get him from that, from point A to point B. Yeah.
Also, if you ever have anything that really needs guarding, yeah, have a circle of guards standing around it facing out, but have one guard facing in. Maybe two for redundancy.
Yeah.
Just saying. Big flaw in your security system.
Yeah, so we get the, we go back to Rapunzel, Mother Gothel has arrived, and Rapunzel asks her birthday wish, that she wants to see the floating lights, and Gothel kind of dismisses, oh, those are just stars in the sky, they come out every night, and we get into the villain song, which is Mother Knows Best, Gothel trying to tell Rapunzel that the outside world is bad and she should stay inside and listen to her mother. Like I said, this is probably the best villain song, or at least one of the best villain songs. Because in her, if out of context, you would think, oh, this is just a mother telling their daughter that the world is a cruel place. Very similar to Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, the world is cold, the world is wicked. But the ulterior motive of she wants to keep Rapunzel in the tower to keep her hair and keep that power and stay young forever.
Yeah, and the way that they render this visually is so good, too. That the tower is kind of bright and cheerful because of all the paintings and everything. And there are some windows and stuff. But when this song starts, Rapunzel is going around lighting candles that Gothel keeps snuffing out. It's a good visual representation of how Gothel wants to present the world to Rapunzel.
Her spirit broken. Yeah, okay, Mom, I won't ask anymore. Flip back to Flynn, and they're still trying to escape. And he kind of tricks his cohorts, leaving them behind, taking the crown, and just allowing them to get captured while Flynn escapes with the goods. So, not a very loyal person is Flynn Rider.
This is kind of like the one really bad thing he does in the movie.
Yeah, but we'd need to have him have, I guess they wanted to have him some sort of redemption later on, but yeah, very selfish in his own right.
Taking an unused crown from rich people who have plenty of them is kind of morally neutral, in my opinion. And it's the leaving your cohorts for the cops so that you can get away. Not a cool move.
No.
I mean, this. Stabbington brothers or whatever they're called, yeah,
the Stabbington brothers. Perfect name for villains, the Stabbington brothers.
But you know, that's kind of the one like douche move that he really has during the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're also introduced to Maximus the Horse, who the great personality they gave Maximus, and you know, like, it's almost dog-like in how he's presented.
Extremely dog-like, especially when Rapunzel enters the picture. Yeah. The thing is that I think that Maximus also gets a redemption arc.
Yeah, he's very... The character of Maximus is very by-the-book cop, even though he's a horse. You know, he will get the bad guy no matter what. A bad guy is a bad guy. There's no change.
He's very Javert.
Yeah.
He's Javert as a horse.
Yeah, I didn't think about that till right now. Yeah. And throughout the entire movie, he goes after Flynn because Flynn is a criminal. Until Rapunzel kind of shows him a different side to Flynn. You know, he is a good person and underneath it all. And by the end, we get Maximus's turn of kind of being on Flynn's side.
Yeah, it ends up saving his life.
Yeah.
I think that Mother Gothel is an important character as an instructional tool, but I think just as far as my favorite character in the movie, I think it's got to be Max.
Yeah, for a character that doesn't speak. And yeah, eventually Flynn, running away from Maximus, finds the tower. He climbs up there. You know, he thinks he's escaped. And like I said last week, ye old frying pan knocks him out. I tell you, a frying pan is a great weapon.
Which is kind of the other moral of this film, to be honest. Because Flynn, like, immediately, like, he uses it once, and he's like, okay, this is the greatest weapon. By the end of the movie, like,
yeah,
by the end of the movie, all the guards are carrying them instead of swords.
Yeah. And Rapunzel uses this opportunity to kind of put confidence in herself. You're like, you know, mom says I can't defend myself. Well, I just knocked out this strange man that broke into my house with a frying pan. I could take care of myself. She'll let me go out now if I tell her that I took care of this robber. In her eyes, it's a robber.
Yeah. Because in her eyes, you know, Gothel has been saying, if anybody finds out about your hair, they'll steal you from me.
Yeah.
And so she assumes Flynn is there because he found out about her hair.
The confrontation between the two. Well, yeah, Gothel returns. And she's about to tell her that, hey, I can defend myself. You know, you can let me go out. And Gothel really goes into, you're not leaving this tower ever. Really, really. If you didn't know she was the villain by now, now you do.
Yeah, and I think her dialogue is like, oh, great, now I'm the bad guy.
Duh. Do-do-do-do. Sorry, every time she says that, I think, I'm sorry, Billie Eilish, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I have heard those exact words out of that exact type of person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, now you're going to make me the bad guy. You know, they'll insult you, and then you go, don't insult me, and they're like, oh, stop acting like I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you are. Like.
So Rapunzel figures out, no matter what she says to Gothel, she's not going to let her leave the tower. So she makes up the story of, okay, well, what you can give me for my birthday is that special painting you got me that one time. And Gothel said, well, it's going to take 3 days for me to get it. But so, I'll be okay by myself. Just if you can give me the paint, then I won't ask you to leave the tower anymore. And I can paint whatever I want and blah, blah, blah. And Gothel buys it. And she's off to get the ingredients that will make this special paint that Rapunzel apparently really likes. Again, smart on Rapunzel to get her mama, or the person that she believes to be her mother, out of the house, while she questions Flynn Rider about who he is and why he's there. And I love how how Pascal, Rapunzel's little pet here, wakes him up by just licking his ear. And, ugh.
The inside of his ear. Not like, you know, the ear lobe or something. Like, no, just tongue fully in the ear canal. Ugh.
In some places, you have to pay for that. So, yeah.
It's called the chameleon treatment.
I just love the threatening way Rapunzel is holding that frying pan to Flynn. It's just, I know I have a frying pan and I know how to use it.
Yeah, and also how she uses her hair to tie him up and move him around the room.
Yeah.
It's so great. And I love Flynn's absolute bafflement when he comes to it. He's like, is this hair? Am I tied up with human hair?
Yeah. And Flynn trying his tricks, his good-looking boy tricks on her, and it's just not working because Rapunzel is such an innocent little bean.
Like, yeah, attempt at the smolder.
He's trying to flirt with her, and she just doesn't get it, because, again, this is probably the first man she's ever seen in her entire life.
I mean, definitely. It's pretty, you know, pretty much established that since she was an infant, the only other human she has seen has been Gothel.
Yeah. So, like, I know not where I came from, but I just want to say hi with that eyebrow and the eyebrow wiggle, and the smolder doesn't work. And she just knocks him out with the frying pan again. You broke my smolder.
Yeah, I think this is where the casting of Zachary Levi is really good, because he's a good-looking guy, but he also has that... But he's a good-looking guy in that adorkable kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the traditional Hollywood handsome. You know, he's not like, you know, Brad Pitt or George Clooney or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's attractive, but he's also kind of nerdy and weird in certain definitions of the word, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it kind of comes through in the way they've rendered the character, but also the voice, where you can tell that it's probably worked for him before, but there's also like a whole plate full of cheese coming through as well.
Yeah.
I love me a cheese platter though, so no hate.
Yeah, so they had the deal. Rapunzel has hidden the crown in the tower, and she will give him back the crown under the deal that she takes Flynn takes Rapunzel into the kingdom to see the lanterns, as Flynn tells her those are lanterns, and they put them up every day on the princess's birthday. So they make the deal, and Flynn immediately tries to back out of his deal, or at least try to convince Rapunzel, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go into the kingdom. You don't know anything about the outside world. Almost doing the same thing that Gothel has been doing to her all of her life.
Except in this sense, to get rid of her instead of to keep her.
Yeah.
And I love the way that he decides to show her the meanness of the outside world.
Yeah, by taking her to a bar. But I gotta say, the entire scene of Rapunzel, her first time stepping foot on grass, and, you know, this freedom that she's had for the first time in her life. And then she has a complete mental breakdown over it.
Yeah. Also, if you are not used to stepping on the actual ground and grass and stuff with bare feet, her feet would have hurt like 3 minutes into that journey.
If you've ever, I've seen videos of children walking on grass for the first time, and they are screaming in pain because, again, they've never walked on grass before. So yeah, that would be a new sensation, and that, those are little prickly things that stick into your feet. Those hurt.
Yeah, if you're not used to it, you know, then it can be a very unpleasant feeling. And also little things like stones and twigs and other plants that are not grass and stuff, you know, they all have their own unique textures and prickly things that can hurt. I mean, there's a reason why humans invented shoes.
Yeah.
She never needed them because she's always been on smooth stone her entire life. She's never known any other texture. So she would have been begging for shoes long before they got to that inn, is what I'm saying. Which I forgot the name of the inn just for a second.
Yeah.
The Snuggly Duckling. I just love it. It's so cute.
So as they're going to the bar, Gothel runs into Maximus, and it's like, Royal Horse is here. That means there's a rider nearby. And she doesn't know that it's Flynn, but she thinks it's a palace guard. goes up to the tower, and Rapunzel is gone, but she does find the crown. So, at the Snuggly Duckling,
she knows someone has been there.
Yeah, she knows someone has been there. Rapunzel is gone, and she finds the wanted poster of Flynn Rider.
Yeah,
which Flynn has selfishly put into the satchel. Why, if you didn't like the picture, why would we put it into the satchel? Because we needed it for this moment.
Yeah, and well, the thing is that I think they were trying to show that he was a little bit egotistical, even though he didn't really love the drawing. The fact that he's on wanted poster, I mean, he's leveled up, you know?
Yeah. He's now top
he's
criminal.
He's not just a thief anymore. He's a famous thief.
He's a felon now.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you know, yeah. So at the Snuggly Duckling that Flynn has seemed to have been to before, because he sees all of these rough-looking people, these ruffians, as Rapunzel calls them, and they're obsessed with her hair. And this is Flynn's way of showing Rapunzel that the world is full of not nice people, and maybe Rapunzel should go back home to her tower so she can be safe with her mother. But, yeah, Flynn, they recognize Flynn from the wanted posters. They're going to take him and probably get the reward out of it. Until Rapunzel stops him, saying, haven't you ever had a dream? Because it's her dream to see the lights, and he's going to guide her to help him accomplish her dream. And we get the big musical number of I Have a Dream, where all of these ruffians and very foul-faced felons all have dreams. One has a dream to be a piano player. One has a dream to find the love of his life. One wants to be a mime. One collects porcelain unicorns. It's a nice don't judge a book by its cover kind of song. They're all ruffian people, but they have hobbies. They have souls. They have desires.
Yeah, also, I think that it's building off of Flynn's fact, where when we find out about Flynn's backstory and he says he named himself after a book,
yeah.
And Rapunzel says, was he a thief? And Flynn said, no, he had enough money to do whatever he wanted. The pianist guy admits, like, well, I do like hurting people if the job calls for it, but mostly I just want to make music, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is a thing that a lot of us can relate to. We've got the thing we have to do because that's what puts food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And for very few people are those the same thing.
And we get, Zachary Levi does great singing in his little part here. His verse and chorus. Of Finn's dream to live on a private island and have more money than he can ever dream about.
All alone.
Yeah. Which, again, his backstory later in the movie make you understand why he wants to be alone. Because he's always been alone.
This is my second favorite song in the whole movie. Gothel's song is just kind of far and above. But this one I like more than the rest of the songs, because it's funny, but it's also got a point. But when they are interrupted by the palace guard before they realize that Flynn wasn't such a bad guy and they wanted to help Rapunzel, when that guy comes back with the palace guard and they have to help them leave, as they're ushering them out, the guy says, go live your dream. And Flynn says, thank you, I will. He goes, no, your dream is stupid. I meant her dream.
I love because that line. Because
Flynn is the only one that's not carrying out a passion of, like, who he wants to be. He just wants to, like, win at something or prove that he's better. He's not making people happy. He's not even making himself happy, because that kind of sounds like a miserable existence. But it is kind of all he ever thought of, you know?
Yeah, and they almost make it out if it wasn't for Maximus finding the secret exit.
Smart horse, Maximus, that is smarter than the entire palace.
Yeah, smarter than the entire palace guards. And yeah, the Stabbington brothers, they leave the weakest guard to take care of the Stabbington brothers. Poor guy, didn't stand a chance. And the Stabbingtons escape, and Gothel gets in there too. Eventually we get the confrontation between the Stabbingtons and Gothel that they'll give her something worth more than 1,000 crowns, and that is a girl with magic hair. That she's willing to trade the crown for Rapunzel.
Again, Gothel is stupid because we find out that they're like, we'll just take the girl.
And I think that was part of the setup, though. Like, it was so Gothel could take out the Stabbingtons herself to kind of show that she does care about Rapunzel and that she wants to protect her, to feed into what she'd been saying before. You know, I'm the only one that can protect you. The world is a mean and cruel place. It's all part of the manipulation.
Yeah, I can see that.
She was always trying to backstab the Stabbingtons, as it were. So we have the big chase scene. Again, Flynn says it's the weirdest thing he's ever done in his life. Sword fighting with a horse with a frying pan.
Maximus is good with that sword, though.
Yeah.
He's a talented horse.
Frying pan is a very, very versatile weapon, and more people should be carrying it.
Yeah.
And they ended up breaking the dam and going into a cave that gets flooded when the dam breaks. And they're about to die and getting flooded in this cave. And we get Flynn Rider. That's not his real name. It's Eugene Fitzherbert. Good change.
Yeah.
And we get the Rapunzel reveals her secret that her hair glows since it's completely pitch black in the cave. And they are able to find a way out. But in the skirmish, Flynn has his hand cut. And Rapunzel reveals that her hair does more than glow, that it actually heals. As she's able to heal his hand using her magic hair powers.
I think one of the coolest parts of this movie is that Flynn reacts like an absolutely normal person to discovering all this.
Yes.
Where he's like flipping out of like, why does her hair glow? And he's like questioning the chameleon, like, Pascal, why does her hair glow?
And then he almost freaks out at finding out that she can heal people.
Yeah, well, by that point, she knows he's going to freak out. So she's like trying to tell him, like, please do not freak out when I show you what else I can do.
Yeah, so we get Eugene's backstory. He grew up as an orphan, but he would read these books called Finnegan Rider, who would go and have all these great adventures. And yeah, he was not a thief, but he already had all the money he could ever need, and he could go wherever he wanted to go. So for a kid who grew up with nothing, with no one, it was someone he idolized, and he changed his name to Flynn Rider so he could kind of become the Finnegan Rider. I mean, it's knowing some people like that, you know, who have nothing, who just want something in the world, it's you can understand why he became a thief. You can't excuse it, but you can kind of understand it. You know, there's not a lot of job, I mean, especially for this era of what it would happen. He wouldn't have really had a good job. He'd probably at best be an apprentice to someone else.
Probably the best he could have hoped for was a merchant.
Yeah. But he wanted more than that. And we get Gothel finding Rapunzel and is just saying, hey, let's go home. I found you. Let's go home. I'll forgive you. We'll just leave all of this. And Rapunzel stands up for herself. No, I'm going to see the lights. Flynn is my friend and he's going to take me there. And she, again, it's straight up, oh, now you know everything. You don't need mommy anymore and your friend is going to help you. But what happens when you give him what he wants? He's going to leave you like everyone else would leave you in this situation. Again, really putting on that emotional abuse.
Yeah.
And the big
I am the only one.
Yeah, I'm the only one that can take care of
your world revolves around me.
And we get the nice little reprise of Mother Knows Best, which is even more sinister than the first version.
Yeah, Rapunzel Knows Best. Rapunzel's so grown now. You know, it makes my skin crawl.
And so that's what makes it a great villain song, because it's such based in reality. So condescending to Rapunzel. And she gives him the crown. Like, I found the crown in your tower. Here's the crown. Give him the crown now and see if he still takes you where you need to go. Day comes and there's Maximus. They found them. And Maximus is going right after Flynn to drag him off. And then we get Rapunzel. Then we get the nice scene of Rapunzel. And like we said, Maximus acting very dog-like in front of Rapunzel. Sit. Oh, he's a good boy.
And then Flynn's like, he's not a good boy. Bad horse. Yes. We don't need to go into that song.
That's a different continuity. That's a different franchise. Yeah. So anyway, Rapunzel pretty much makes them become friends. Like, Jake, and we're going to, you know, he's going to help me get to the light, and then that's it.
Yeah. For at least 24 hours.
Yeah, at least 24 hours. So they have a bit of an uneasy partnership going forward. So we finally make it to the kingdom of Corona. And it's probably one of the cutest things, because we see the, you know, Rapunzel trying to get through this very busy city with this long, long hair that gets tangled up everywhere. And what do? You call a bunch of 8-year-old girls to braid your hair.
Yeah, I do want to say something about her entering into the city for the first time, because apparently, the animators set cameras out at the gates of the Magic Kingdom and filmed the expression of children coming into the Magic Kingdom for the first time.
Aww.
In order to get that look of absolute awe and joy on Rapunzel's face in there. So,
I've known some adults who have the same face.
Well, yeah, but this is Disney, so they were specifically focused on the children like they do.
Mm-hmm.
Look on her face when she looks up and she sees the castle and everything is supposedly inspired by the faces of actual children seeing Cinderella's castle for the first time.
Aww.
Terrible.
So yeah, we get the hair situation, and I love that Flynn looks at these little girls that are braiding each other's hair, and then he shows them this big lock of hair, and they are just jumping to it. They are the most excited little girls you've ever seen.
Yeah. What kind of hair?
What kind of braiding techniques did they come up with that all of a sudden Rapunzel's hair is now 10 times shorter?
I shortened the hair a lot when my hair was kind of, it was then starting to hit my waist and my booty there at its longest. And when I would braid it, it would come up to just below my shoulder blades. Mm. So braiding in the hair a lot. But also there are other techniques where you can do, you know, the braid is like really fat on her head, yeah, which means that I think that they've doubled it up. And, you know, there are a lot of braiding techniques, especially medieval European braiding techniques that are pretty elaborate in their way of gathering the hair. So, yeah, I don't find that part weird.
And if you go to the Magic Kingdom, this is the version of Rapunzel that you meet, the braided up version of Rapunzel, which really is the only way they can make that character work in a meet and greet.
And that most cosplayers will do it too, that you either they'll either do cosplay of her with the braided hair with the flowers in it, or they'll do cosplay of her after her hair has been cut with the short brown.
Yeah. So we get Rapunzel looking at the mural of the Lost Princess, and she kind of gets this look like it looks somewhat familiar to her. And it pays off later on. Like, the, you know. Anyway, we get to the dance sequence here, and it's a nice little dance sequence, and it's a little bit of a moment with Flynn and Rapunzel as they at various times try to dance with each other, but they not only are they trying to dance with each other and they keep getting split up, but they're also trying to hide from the guards because, again, Finn is still a wanted man.
Yeah, it's a cute little montage of her getting to, you know, dancing with people, showing other people her artwork for the first time because she draws a mural on the ground. Trying different foods, different looking at artwork and getting souvenirs from the festival and, you know, just fun little things.
It is like someone going to the Magic Kingdom for the first time, almost.
Yeah.
You get the souvenirs, you go around, you try to have fun. And, you know, by the evening, Flynn and Rapunzel are on the boat. They give a bag of apples to Maximus, which he is very, very concerned about. Like, and Flynn goes, I bought them. Don't worry about it. Well, I bought most of them.
I like that it's after he's eaten that he says, well, I bought most of them. And Maximus going, like, which one are the stolen ones, Nick? Am I morally allowed to eat these now? Such a good moment. I love it.
And we kind of get to our little love song, At Last I See the Light, as the lanterns start going up into the sky. Not my favorite Disney love song, but it works in the scene.
Yeah, it does work in the scene. It works as a duet between the two of them. And it works because she gives him the satchel in the middle of it that has the crown. She's like, you know, you've fulfilled your role and whatever. And he puts it to the side.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about it anymore.
He cares about her. Even in his little part of the song, it's like he kind of has a new focus, a new dream, as it were. And he just sees something in Rapunzel, and Rapunzel sees something in him. And they almost kiss. They almost have that little moment. But then we get the Stabbington brothers again. She kind of... The rooster blockers, if you will, the Stabbington brothers.
Yeah.
So he has to, you know, make things right, as it were. So he takes the crown, goes to the Stabbingtons, and hey, I didn't know you were here. I've been looking all over for you. Tried to play it off, and it doesn't end well for poor Flynn as he kind of gets taken. And they set up poor Flynn, tying him up to a boat with the crown in hand, making it look like he's leaving Rapunzel and just going off with the crown. Kind of, again, setting up Gothel. You know, doing exactly what...
Gothel's plan. You know this had to be Gothel's plan.
Yeah. Make it look like, you know, this guy that you really like, this very handsome man is just, he's just the scum of the earth. It's like I told you, all men are scum, blah, blah, blah. He left you like I told you he was going to leave you. And then
also sending him straight towards the guards.
Yeah, and he...
So that he would not come looking for Rapunzel.
Yep, and he is, since he is sailing in there, evidence in hand, he is quickly arrested. And he is going to be hung for his crime. Meanwhile, the Stabbingtons, they're going to kidnap Rapunzel because, hey, she has the magic hair and they want to be young and healthy forever. In comes Gothel to take care of the Stabbingtons, and they're also get arrested. When I first saw this movie, I thought she killed them. And I thought she killed them. But we do see one of the Stabbingtons in jail later on. And Flynn saying, what happened? What did you do? It wasn't us. It was the old woman. And so, this is all part of Gothel's plan, is to show that the world is a wicked and cruel place. And you need to be with me. I'm the only one that can protect you. And it almost works. If it wasn't for Rapunzel finally putting it all together, the crown, the picture of the lost princess, and she puts it all together that she is in fact the lost princess. And if you really think about it, it doesn't work, because all of the paintings that she's been painting all of her life has the sun symbol that is the symbol of the kingdom. That somehow subconsciously she remembers this symbol from when she was a baby, and she's been painting it all her life.
But I like how the paintings are subtle. She never paints that symbol
directly,
specifically.
Yeah.
You know, it's always in the negative space or something else.
Yeah. And it's a nice way to put it. But it's Disney. It's a fairy tale. I think we can let that go. It doesn't work in real life, but again, it's a Disney movie. It's a fairy tale. So yeah. And Rapunzel just the closest thing to an FU we'll ever get in a Disney cartoon. Did I stutter, mother?
Yeah.
That is probably the closest thing to an FU in a Disney movie. As now the truth is out there, you know. Are you even my real mother? Should I even call you mother? And yeah, she just... Well, she makes make sure Rapunzel doesn't get away, so she just ties her up and keeps her up in the tower like a prisoner. In a way, she kind of always was a prisoner. It's just that it's now more direct, and she's dropped the charade.
Yeah, Rapunzel knows she's a prisoner now. She's no less a prisoner than she was before, but she was unaware of her status as a prisoner until that moment.
Yeah. And thanks to our little hooligan friends from the Duckling Bar, they help Flynn escape. Okay, I'm going to say this one thing. They tell her what to do, you know, knees in, feet apart, tuck in. And they kind of use a catapult to get him over the palace gates right onto Maximus. Flynn wouldn't be having any children after that if it was real life.
Well, and also, I don't think he would have taken that with silence like he does in the film.
And from that great height, Maximus would also be dead.
Yeah, it would have probably broken that poor horse's spine, you're right.
Yeah. So yeah, and they're able to escape, and they get back to Rapunzel. Flynn calls out the famous Rapunzel, let down your hair. How does he know about that? I don't know, since Gothel said it earlier. He's able to climb
Rapunzel probably told him on the trip, to be fair.
Probably. He climbs up, finds Rapunzel tied up, and he gets stabbed by Mother Gothel. But because we need to keep this as a kids movie, no blood on the knife.
Yeah, I did notice that in the rewatch. I was like, oh yeah, there's no blood on the knife when she pulls it out.
So yeah, she is, now that Flynn has come back, the tower isn't safe anymore. So she's going to take Rapunzel far away where no one can find her and they can be together forever. Rapunzel, like, I'll never follow you. I'll never be obedient to you ever again. But sees that Finn is dying because he just got stabbed in the gut. And then Prima says, I will go with you. I will be subservient to you forever if you let me heal him. You know, she's willingly give up her freedom just to save this man who has really shown her kindness. As much of a D-bag that Flynn has been, he's actually shown love and caring to Rapunzel. He's a jerk, but he's a nice jerk. So in the skirmish, the mirror breaks and he uses part of the mirror to cut her hair off and end the spell. There's been a lot of memes over the last decade of why did Flynn cut her hair so short? Like, he didn't have to cut it that short.
Honestly, he did her a favor. If you've ever had really long hair and then you cut it short and you're like, oh my goodness, like, my neck doesn't hurt anymore. I can, like, move my hair, like, I don't have, like, hair in my mouth when I eat and stuff like that. It's, long hair is an annoyance. I'm guessing that after that, you know, world's most dramatic haircut, that Rapunzel probably never grew her hair past her shoulders ever again in her life. Yeah.
And it actually gives a lot of short-haired women someone to cosplay as.
More princesses need short hair.
The short hair actually works on the animation model. I will say that.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Though it's odd that Gothel immediately starts aging as soon as the magic is gone. It's weird that, I mean, she's already absorbed enough magic that she should still be okay, but the movie just has her aging rapidly. All those hundreds of years are finally coming back at once.
That when she falls out the window, she disintegrates before ever making it to the ground.
And that's the thing. She does. How does she fall off the ledge? Pascal trips her with Rapunzel's own hair. Pascal is a murderer.
Oh, yeah. That's a straight up, you know. When karma comes for that chameleon, it's going to be really bad.
Now, granted, she probably would have immediately faded into dust right there in the tower. So she was gone either way.
Pascal knew what was happening and knew that Rapunzel was such a neat freak that he didn't want her to have to, like, sweep up the
remains.
Abusive mother.
Yeah, now you have to clean up your abusive mother's ashes. And, yeah, we get a nice thing here. Okay, obviously, Flynn is dying, and I like the verbiage he uses, like, if I didn't do it, you would have, you know, if you go, you'll die. And even though her life is not in danger, her spirit probably would have died.
Yeah, it's very much a more metaphorical death.
And we get a nice callback to the original story of Rapunzel's tears healing the prince. As in the original story, when the prince falls, he is blinded by thorns on the way down and is dying. And it is Rapunzel's tears that heal the prince and makes him all better. And we get that here with remnants of the magic still within her body as she cries upon his death. And he's revived again. So magic tears? Sure.
I mean, it makes as much sense as any of the other fairy tale stuff in this movie. Why not?
True. And I do like the line of, did I ever tell you I have a thing for brunettes?
it makes her feel better about, you know, what's just happened, I guess.
Yeah.
I like that.
And yeah, we get the reunion of the king and the queen with the princess. Though no words are said and they instantly believe that she is the princess. But she does look exactly like the queen. It's almost the same animation model.
Exactly the same model. Yeah.
Only they made the queen taller and they gave her like a wrinkle under her eye. But it's the same animation model. So like that is straight up, like you can believe that is her daughter. And there's a nice little joyous reunion and everyone has their dream come true. Like, you know, the one ruffian gets the girl and the other one gets to be the royal piano player. As you said, we had the guards now use frying pans as their weapon of choice.
And Max is the head of the palace guard.
Yeah, a horse is the head of the palace guard.
Yeah.
And we get a little tease that these two got married afterwards, happily ever after. This is a really good movie, and it does feel like this is a return to form for Disney, like a return to that old greatness from the Renaissance era.
Yeah, when I first saw this movie in theaters, I thought, it's kind of a mediocre movie, but I gotta say, the more I watch this movie, the more it grows on me.
Yeah.
I love it by leaps and bounds more every time I see it. And rewatching it for this, I found so much stuff that I just kind of don't think I ever noticed before that I'm like, wow, that was a really good thing. Or I like the way they did that. And
this movie spawned a franchise. About a year after this movie came out, we got a short called Tangled Ever After, which shows Eugene and Rapunzel's wedding and the misadventures that Maximus and Pascal got into trying to get to the wedding. Not on Disney Plus, unfortunately, but it's a nice little funny cartoon with very little dialogue. And as I mentioned, they made a TV show out of this. Three seasons called Tangled the series, which got most of the movie cast to come back and reprise their roles. There was a movie that kind of introduced the series called Tangled Before Ever After, since it takes place before they got married. So yeah, Tangled became a nice little franchise that Disney was able to make a lot of money off of.
Yeah, and people have really taken to this film, you know, the Rapunzel meet and greet. You know, people want to meet Rapunzel and Flynn in the park.
The person that plays Rapunzel, at least the person that I've seen videos of, actually, it's a nice, and it's in character for Rapunzel that she often herself does to smolder. To see this petite little actress doing this very comical smolder in full Rapunzel gear for pictures, it's hilarious. So yeah, and it's like, even Mandy Moore has said that Rapunzel is one of her favorite characters that she's ever played. And I don't blame her for that. It's a nice character, very innocent, very naive, but capable.
But, you know, learns quickly.
Yeah.
She's only naive because he has kept her from it, not because of anything internal to herself. She's incredibly capable. Anything happens to her, you know?
Yeah. She was just never given the chance until she left the tower. And yeah, I think it goes without saying, this movie definitely has the magic.
Yeah, it's not even a question. This was a return to form for Disney. Back to what made it good in the Renaissance, and back to the original kind of Walt era films. In that sense.
And yeah, a few years after, and we mentioned it before, but a few years after this, we would get Frozen. And as big as Frozen got, I think Tangled is a much better film.
In a lot of ways, I will agree. We'll get to Frozen one of these days, and I got a lot to say about that one. But this is one that maybe, if you watched it originally and thought like, oh, that was cute, and then didn't give it much of a second thought, or you skipped it because you thought, eh, I'm not sure, give it a rewatch or a first watch, because this one really does grow on you. It's a really good kind of almost slow burn of a movie. It really kind of worms its way into your heart somehow.
Yeah, and we said it has a very small cast, and which makes it a more intimate movie, even though it's roughly the same length as your average Disney movie, but only having a handful of main characters, half of them don't speak, it really gives you more character development between the characters that are on screen.
Yeah, you find out kind of a lot about these characters, and you really get to like them.
Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't yet, watch Tangled. Give it a chance. If you haven't before, give it a chance. It's a good movie. So is that all we can talk about Tangled?
I believe so.
So we are going to move on to next week as we enter December. And it's the holiday season, so we're going to go with a bunch of holiday movies.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. But hey, it's Christmas. Everyone does the Christmas thing.
It's Kiki's favorite time of year.
So we're going to start with one of my favorite holiday movies. That would be Babes in Toyland with Annette Funicello. I don't know how Kiki's going to react to it, but we'll see how it goes when we get there next week. And we'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Bye. Don't let the magic stop here.
Join our conversation online on Facebook at Rewatching the Magic.
Twitter at Rewatch the Magic.
And of course, new episodes every week at rewatchingthemagic.podbean.com.
Remember, the magic is for everyone.
It only stops if you let it.